In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, I'm going to need a little help from the kids. I'm going to go in the altar here and pick up an important book. Okay, now, what is this?
A Bible.
This is, we call it the Word of God, the Bible. This is a copy of the Gospels, which specifically tells us about the life of Jesus and the words of Jesus. The focus of all this is Jesus. Jesus' words, he speaks to us in the Gospels. We learn about his life in the Gospels. It's so important in our worship that we have two entrances. That is, two times when the priest and the deacon comes out and the censer and the candles. And one of those times is when the gospel is processed in a procession with the gospel book. Because this is the word of God. These are the words of Jesus. Now we also have here the whole Bible. This is the Old Testament and the New Testament. It has the gospel books in them, but it also has the epistles of Paul and Peter and John and all of those others all point toward this one. Because when Jesus speaks, we listen. Or don't we? When your mom or dad talks to you, do you just say, oh, I'm not going to listen to you? You want to listen carefully. Why? First, because your mom and dad love you, and because when they talk to you, sometimes they have to scold you a little bit, but when they do that, it's because they want you to grow up to be successful and good children who enjoy life. Okay. So here we have the words of Jesus, the gospel book. I'm going to put it back now. I didn't talk about the second time that the priest and deacon come. When they come through the second time with the candles and the incense, what are the deacons and the priests carrying that time? The first time we're carrying the gospel book. The second time we're carrying the chalice and the discos, which have the body and blood of Christ. In both times, both of those entrances, this is a real big thing because they're both all about Jesus and how he gives himself for us. Okay. There is something that's really interesting that happened in our gospel lesson this morning. Sometimes we miss the context. That is, we miss what is really happening here. It isn't that Jesus is just coming down the mountain and he's talking to these people and he heals this boy. Something real significant is happening. Matter of fact, if you were a good little Jewish boy or older Jewish boy or mom or dad Jew who lived during the time of Jesus, Jesus was a Jew, and all the disciples were Jews. During that time, every good Jew knew the story of Moses. Everyone knew the story of Moses. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the gospel book. They had Moses' book. And there were different kinds of Jews. There were Sadducees and Pharisees, and there were other kinds of Jews, but everyone agreed, all the Jews agreed, that the books of Moses were the most important. The Sadducees didn't believe in any of the other books as nearly worthy of being called the Word of God, but the Sadducees said it's just the book of Moses. Anyway, I don't want to confuse you, but anyway. So you had the book of Moses in the Old Testament. How did Moses get those books? God spoke to Moses and told him what to write in those books. And Moses listened. Where was Moses when he heard God tell him what to write in the book? Where was Moses? He was in the mountain, Mount Sinai. And I have to tell you that, you know, I don't know everything. So when I prepare a sermon sometimes, I learn things that I really hadn't really seen before sometimes. Well, anyway, in preparing this sermon, I learned some things that I should have known, I guess, but I didn't quite know. I wasn't a good Jew, I guess. But Moses, when he was called up to the mountain, just like Jesus had just gone up into the mountain, and he was transfigured on Mount Tabor. You know what? I'm going to go back to the context here first. What Deacon Jeff read this morning, are you still with me? What Deacon Jeff read this morning was the account of what happened when Jesus came down from the mountain, where Peter and James and John were with him, and the voice came from the cloud, and Jesus' face shone. Remember, all that happened just before what we read this morning. Jesus is on Mount Tabor. And then Jesus came down, and we'll look at that in a minute. Well, what Jesus did when he went up to Mount Tabor and was transfigured was something awful lot like what Moses did when he went up Mount Sinai. I want you to see the similarities here between Moses in the Old Testament going up Mount Sinai. Remember, there's lightning and the cloud was there and the glory of the Lord shone on Moses. And who was with Moses? This is something I'd forgotten. Joshua. Moses wasn't up there by himself. Exodus 24. Now God said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Don't go up into the mountain, just come along the foot of the mountain. And you guys all worship from afar. Moses alone shall come near to God, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with them. Who went up on the mountain with Jesus? Did they all the disciples go up? Did all, everyone who said, I love Jesus, did they all go up the mountain? No. Just Peter, James, and John. So Moses came and told all the people the words of God and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words the Lord has spoken we will do. Okay? And then we read that only Joshua went with him. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you the tablets of stone and the law and commandments I wrote, that you may teach them to the people. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and they went up to the mountain of God. It wasn't just Moses, it was Moses and Joshua. So God had chosen special leaders to assist Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, I just read that, and the 70 of the elders. Jesus in the New Testament also chose special leaders to assist him. And who were they? Did you ever hear the apostles? The 12 apostles? Are you all listening yet? The 12 apostles? And then there were also 70 others whom Jesus sent out. And these 70 we commemorate on January 4th. Maybe, I'm hoping the adults are listening too, because in the Old Testament there were the 70 elders. Moses, they didn't go up the mountain, but there were the 70 elders. In the New Testament, we had the special 12 just like in the Old Testament, you had the special Nadab and Abihu and Aaron, but only Joshua went up the mountain. Well, here we have 12 apostles and the 70 who were sent, but only Peter, James, and John went up. Okay. Secondly, notice, in when Moses ascended the mountain, Moses and Joshua went up, and a cloud covered the mountain, and God's glory descended upon Moses and Joshua. Listen to this. This is so interesting. Then Moses and Joshua went up the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of God descended on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. God spoke to Moses. When Jesus went up the mountain and was transfigured, you have Peter, James, and John with him. They went up the mountain, and a bright cloud covered them, and God spoke to them. I can tell this is getting to be a lot for the kids, but hang in there if you can. And that would have been in chapter 17, verse 5. Well, God was speaking to Jesus on the mountain, Mount Tabor. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Oh boy. It's like we have a new covenant being established here. We have a new Moses. That's Jesus. And then we read how Moses' face shone and was glorified by God. Exodus 34, verses 29 and 30. I've got to get bifocals in my glasses. Hang with me. And when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai and had the two tablets in his hand, he did not know that the skin of his face was glorified while God talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses and the glorified appearance of the skin of his face, they were afraid to come near him. And whose face shone on Mount Tabor when Jesus and Peter and James and John were up in the mountain? Jesus' face shone. And Jesus was transfigured and shone. His face shone like the sun. And Jesus was transfigured before them when he was on Mount Tabor. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking to him. You remember Peter said, "Well, Lord, why don't we just build a tent here for everybody so we can stay here? And don't worry about the people down on the bottom of the mountain. Let's just stay here in glory." Jesus said, "No." They had to go down, just like Moses went down the mountain. Now, in the Old Testament, when Moses and Joshua were up on the mountain, Aaron and the 70 elders stayed down and they ministered to God's people. And boy, did they minister. Do you remember what happened? They failed completely. Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders, while Moses and Joshua were up in the mountain, remember how the people said, "Oh, I don't know about that Moses. He went up the mountain. He left us down here. Who knows if he's coming back? Would you please build us and make us some gods for us, Moses? I mean, Aaron." And I don't know about this. is, well, everybody take all the gold off your ears and off your wrists and your hands. Just bring me the gold. And he threw it in the furnace, and out popped this god. That's what Aaron said, but that's hard to believe. But anyway, the point here is that Aaron and the 70 elders who were supposed to be ministering to the people failed. Now, what happened when Jesus came down Mount Tabor with Peter, James, and John? The other disciples were left, and they were supposed to continue the ministry which God gave them, and they failed. They failed. This is where we pick up where Deacon Jeff read. And when Jesus and Peter, James, and John came down the mountain and saw the multitude, a man came to Jesus, kneeling down to Jesus and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He's an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't do a thing. They failed. When Moses came down the mountain and he found this idol and he found the leaders and the people, he was very angry, wasn't he? "Oh, I'm gone for a month and look what happens." When Jesus came down the mountain and he found out his disciples couldn't do a thing, they had been trained well, they failed, they didn't have faith, they didn't have any power. It says, Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you?" Does it sound like Jesus was happy with the things that the disciples were doing when he was up there in the mountain? He was not happy at all. He reproves the disciples and the people. You know that one thing I did notice in Exodus when Moses, Joshua came down, that they were reproved, and it says that the Lord was very upset with what Aaron did and the people. It says that Aaron, who made the idol, and the people who made the idol. Sometimes we tell our priests and our deacons, we tell our moms and our dads, "I don't want to hear that." I got to tell you, my little grandson is not here, so he's not going to hear me say this. It's really kind of cute. I'll say to little Roman, "You can't do that. No puedes hacer eso." And he'll say to me, "Pero yo quiero." But I want to. It's really so cute. I can hardly help but not laugh. And he just thinks, "What's wrong, Grandpa? But I want to do this." Sometimes the people, you know, will say, "I want to do this." And we can't quite understand why our parents or why God will say, "No, that's not right." So it's not just Aaron who got blamed for making that idol. It was the people's fault. They wouldn't listen to him unless he told them what they wanted to hear. We need to encourage our priests, our deacons. We need to encourage our moms and dads to speak words that are trustworthy, that are true. Our disobedience doesn't do us a bit of good. Our moms and our dads need to be encouraged Your children need to learn to love your mom and dad. And how do you do that? By listening to them and obeying them. Well, after all this, you might think, oh, brother, what happened to those people in the Old Testament? They made this idol, this God. Certainly, that was the end. God was going to punish them and be done with them. Well, I want to tell you that some of the most beautiful words in the whole Old Testament are words which Moses spoke when he became an advocate for those disobedient people. God said to Moses, you know what, step aside, let me get rid of these people, and I'll make a new Israel. I'll make a new people of God with you, Moses. What did Moses say? And by the way, God was testing Moses. Sometimes he tests our faith. He was testing Moses. Moses, are you up for this work? Are you up for it? Are you sure that you can love these people? Moses said, Lord, if you're not going to forgive them, then take my name out of the book of life. Take my name out of the book of life, but forgive these people. That is the kind of pastor. That's the kind of priest and deacon and mom and dad that all of us need. That's the kind of God we all need. When Jesus came down the mountain, he was upset. You faithless and crooked generation, how long shall I be with you? Bring the boy to me. And he healed the boy. We can make God upset and very angry with us sometimes. But God's anger is for a moment. His love is forever. His love is forever. When you feel the heavy hand of God in your life, maybe because of your own sin and you know it, let God do His great work in you. Does that mean that God is done with you when you feel that heaviness? It means He loves you. His love is forever. He forgives. He heals. He casts out the demon. It says in this passage that Jesus cast out the demon. We all have demons in our lives. And God loves us too much to leave those demons there. And it hurts. It hurts a lot to get rid of the evil and the wickedness in our hearts. It hurts. But God loves us too much to leave it there. So because He loves us so much, that sanctifying, purifying work of the Holy Spirit in casting out that evil in us may hurt, but it's for our good. Every father that loves his children disciplines them. And that discipline doesn't feel good while it happens. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. But it's for our own good. Those whom he loves, he chastises. So God cast out the demon, and his purifying, sanctifying work is working in your hearts, in your lives, in mine. Bring it on, Lord. Please don't abandon me to these demons. Make me your child. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.